Attention. You have entered the minds of successful entrepreneurs, market movers, risk takers, and trailblazers.
And so authenticity and that connection to self is literally the biggest secret to being successful in marketing.
This podcast is designed to shape your vision for success.
Success is not an accident. Success is a choice.
Empower your mind with focus and resilience.
Helping people doesn't stop just because your life isn't perfect. No one's is.
And amplify your message at scale.
So the only person you're comparing yourself to is you yesterday. If you're winning that comparison, you're winning at life.
This podcast is for the impact-driven entrepreneur ready to break through the hard choices and level up in both life and business. I'm your host, Jake Anderson, and this is the Introspective Podcast.
This is the Introspective Podcast.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We have today Ari Galper on the show with me. I'm so excited to talk about trust-based selling. And, you know, I think this is something that we're really going to need to pay attention to. So I advise anybody listening right now to find a quiet place, get away from the distractions, put your phone face down, and really just, you know, soak into this interview, because this is something that could really change your business. But I want to get started and welcome to the show, Ari Galper. Ari, how are you doing today?
Good, Jen. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, I was going through your bio and just incredible some of the things that you've been able to accomplish. And I love Unlock the Game and the idea that you have behind trust-based selling. Just the words trust-based selling alone speaks to me really at the heart, because I believe, you know, trust is so important when it comes to business in general. But I want to hear from you. Would you mind just starting off with just sharing the story of trust-based selling, really what it's about and what led you to this?
Sure. So just real briefly, I'm from the US, originally from San Diego. I now live in Australia. I live in Sydney, where I'm calling from. So there's a whole story behind that. But what I'll do is I'll share with you the kind of the pivotal story experience that happened to me that sort of woke me up to this idea of trust and sales process. And hopefully your listeners will relate to it. But I used to be a sales manager in a software company, and we launched the first online website tracking tools to collect online real-time data for website behavior. Now it's called Google Analytics Statistics, but back then it was kind of the newest thing on the market as the internet was taking off. And I was managing 18 people underneath me, a fast-growing internet company. And my job was to take care of the big accounts that came my way, any leads that were big opportunities. So one came across my desk. It was a big company, you recognize the name. Multiple websites. And literally, if I close this one sale, it would double the revenue of the company. One opportunity, that's how big it was. So it was a huge opportunity. I called the contact back. We had a nice conversation. We agreed to a conference call and a demo to show him what our tool could do for them. So pretty exciting. The day finally came, Friday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I went in the conference room with my director, and I closed the door behind me. In the room is a big, long conference table. In the middle of the table is a speakerphone. You know, the ones with the three legs on it, the spaceship looking corporate ones.
Yeah.
I dial the number to call my contact. He picks it up. He's like, "Hey, Ari, how's it going?" I said, "Good, good." Quick conversation. And he says to me, "Ari, let us tell you who's all with us on the line today." I was like, "Oh, I know there'll be other people there." Next thing I know is I hear, "My name is Mike. I'm CEO of the company." I was like, "Oh, wow. CEO's there. Oh, this is going to be good. My name is Julie. I'm head of global marketing." "Oh, this is great. My name is Todd. I'm head of IT." I was like, "Oh, perfect." I mean, everybody on this call was basically a what?
A player. I mean, they're a big decision maker.
They were all decision makers, right? This is a call you hope to get to as often as possible, all in one shot. So I began to introduce myself. Then we gave them a live demo over the web, showing them what we could do for the websites. We collected some stuff for them, showed it to them. And I'm showing this to them and how it works. And I'm hearing this noise on the phone call like, "Wow, this is great. This is amazing." They start asking me all kinds of questions. How to work? How does it work? How do we install it? How does the tech work? And they had all the right kinds of questions. And of course, I had all the answers. I mean, I was competent. I was friendly. And there was some chemistry on this phone call, Jake. It was like a love fest on the phone. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, for sure.
There was just so much chemistry going back and forth. And I was doing everything I was taught to do in sales. I had the books at home. I read CDs in my car back then. I studied all the gurus' videos, and I was building rapport with them, answering objections. I mean, being enthusiastic. I was doing everything I was taught to do by the rule book, you know? And it was awesome. It was a great call. I got the high five from my boss on my shoulder on the side. He's like, nice job. And the call kind of comes to a close about an hour later. And my contact says to me, Ari, this is great, man. We love this. Give us a call a couple of weeks, follow up with us, and we'll move this thing forward. I was like, oh, thank you, God. This is so perfect. So I said my goodbyes. I took my arm and my hand and I reached for the phone in the middle of the table and hit the off button. As I'm reaching for the off button, by complete accident, now it's the divine intervention, my thumb hit the mute button instead of the off button. By complete accident, I hit the wrong button and a small click happened and they thought I hung up the phone. In that split second, a voice inside of me said, Ari, go to the dark side. Be a fly in the wall. Go where no one's ever gone before in the world of sales. Listen in for a couple seconds. And on my right shoulder, the angel says, don't do it. And the devil says, do it. Now, who do you think won that battle between the angel and the devil?
I'm like on the edge of my seat right now because I can totally see being in that situation. Oh, oops, I hit the mute button, but they thought I hung up. And I could take this opportunity to listen in, but does that feel right, the right thing to do? I'm going to guess, I think the devil won in this one. I think he stayed on the line.
So I pulled my phone back just for a second, and they thought I'd hung up the phone. Now, what would you imagine I would have heard in that call? This is not a trick question. After a call like that, what would you expect to be hearing on a call like that?
Are you saying like after the call during that muted session?
Yeah, like what do you suppose that they would be talking about amongst themselves about after calling?
I think they would be talking about you. I think they would be talking about their conversation with you, what they thought of you. And that would be the discussion, right?
Yeah, you'd expect fairly reasonable things about moving things forward. But let me tell you what they said verbatim, word for word. I'll never forget it. It's why we're all here today. What they said was this. They said, we're not going to go with him. Keep using him for more information and make sure we shop someplace else cheaper. Knife and heart twist. I was in a state of shock. I couldn't believe it. I snapped out of it. I hit the off button. I looked at the wall in front of me and I said to myself, what did I do wrong? I was friendly. I was competent. I was professional. I wasn't aggressive. I did everything in the book I was taught to do in selling. And the first big epiphany hit me, and you can tell me if you agree with this or not, that somewhere along the way, it has become socially acceptable not to tell the truth to people who sell, right?
No, I totally agree with that. Yeah.
It's okay to say things like, sounds good. Send me information. Yeah. Oh, we're definitely interested. Yeah. Without having any intention of buying at all, right?
Right. Yeah.
Then I asked myself, why were they afraid to tell me the truth? And I realized that there is an invisible river of pressure that flows underneath your sales process, pre-sale, inside of every conversation. And normally we aren't aware of it. But if you don't remove that pressure from the process, what happens is they always play a game with you. They keep it at a distance. They give you breadcrumbs to drag you on, thinking you're going to make the sale, and you end up chasing people and end up in this very dysfunctional, dehumanizing experience where you get rejected, and all of a sudden you feel less than a human being, and then you hate the game of selling. And that's where I realized this whole system is so flawed and so dysfunctional. I've got to create my own way of thinking, my own mindset called the Unlock the Game approach and mindset where the goal is shifting. We shifted the goal away from making the sale to only focus on building deep trust with people early on in your process so they feel comfortable telling you the truth. So you know where you stand. You're no longer playing that horrible game that everybody hates so much. And ironically, when you let go of the sale, you double your sales.
Mm.
And that became our whole Unlock the Game revolution for the last 20 years, helping thousands of companies and entrepreneurs shift their thinking and find their integrity again and be very effective in what they do.
I had a completely different perspective of when I heard trust-based selling. I thought in my mind, hearing that trust-based selling, without really hearing the story, this is where my perspective was I was thinking that this was something about just being a trustworthy person that somebody would want to buy from you. But you made such a good point. And I almost felt like, oh my God, he's caught me. I've totally lied to salespeople. I have definitely done that. And it's that there's that feeling where it's like, I don't feel like I want to be in this right now, but I want to get out of it, but I don't want to hurt this person's feelings. They're kind of new. They seem like a really nice person, but I'm literally just going through what goes through my mind anytime I've been guilty of doing that, but I kind of want to get out of it. And you say something like, yeah, I'm kind of interested. Yeah, maybe so. And this sounds good. Let's, maybe we can follow up. And it sounds like it's about the trust in terms of removing that barrier where the prospective client actually tells you the truth in terms of where they want to go, right?
All right. It's not about you being trustworthy. We assume that. It's about your ability to build trust with them is where it's broken. People don't understand that process.
Man, that is really powerful. I've never, like you say it and I'm like, no. Like, no kidding. Like that's so obvious. And I know anybody who's listening right now is probably thinking in their mind, yeah, I've definitely have been guilty of it. And I can even say too there, and I think this is another problem that I also see based on what you're explaining here is I think there's really good people out there who really have a heart to serve. And I'll see this on social media and I'll see people post something like, hey, like hop on a call. Like I'm happy to discuss, like, let me help you. And they may truly want to help you. But in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to do that because I don't want to get put into some sales pitch. And maybe that's not their intention at all. Maybe they truly do want to serve, but in my mind, that's what I go to. So I don't actually take, whatever the offer is. And I never pursue it. And it is. I mean, the more I'm thinking about this is a massive problem. So tell me, like, what are the things that people can do in sales to build that trust?
Well, the first thing we have to do is clean out the mental hard drive of all that old conditioning that we're stuck with in the back of our heads to be able to pour in some new ideas. And the way we do that is we address the sales myths. There are three core myths out there that people are still sleepwalking with every single day, assuming that are true or false. So I'll tell you what they are. The first one is that sales is a numbers game. Have you heard that one before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? So the whole idea behind that is the more contacts you make, supposedly the bigger network you have, the more sales you're going to make. Well, we discovered in this day and age now, it's not about how many contacts you have or make anymore. It's about how good you are at trust building in each conversation, not how many contacts you make, which is a total flip what people believe is correct. And the second one is the idea that the sale is lost at the end of the process. I'm sure you've been there before, Jake, where you had a deal pending. It looked really good. All looked green light. At the end, just dropped out at the end of the process. You know what I'm talking about?
Like the close, now you got to close. That's the end, right? The closing at the end. And then is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and you lose it right there or before that. Well, we discovered, this is pretty crazy, but we discovered the sales now lost not at the end of the process. It's lost at the beginning. And hello. And I'll share right now in kind of a fun way. If someone calls your office tomorrow morning and you pick it up and you hear, hi, my name is, I'm with, we are a, what goes through your mind in about 3 seconds?
Here comes the pitch. You're bothering me. I don't want to be on this call. I'm doing something. You're interrupting my day. Like that's what goes through my head.
It's over at hello.
Yeah.
Now I'm not saying most of your people listening now are making outbound calls, but maybe they are, but I will suggest they're losing their sale and their opportunities, not at the end of the process. They're losing it where?
At the beginning,
which I'll give examples in a few minutes. It'll shock people. And the last one is a big one. The idea that rejection is part of the sales game, that you've got to be tough. You got to take a no. You got to be thick skinned. That comes from the old school sales manager said, hey, if you can't get back out there and take a no, you're not made for success. Get the hell back out there. Stop being a wimp. That's the old voice in the back of our heads. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep calling. Keep following up. Well, you're not going to believe this, but guess what we figured out in our research? We figured out that rejection actually is triggered by certain things you say and do unconsciously that cause the other person to push back on you. And now you're hitting the wall. And I'll share with you also what those triggers are, which will hopefully transform those your listeners.
Yeah, I'm dying to hear them. Like the triggers, especially the cold call. And I even in your bio, which I find to be fascinating, that you call prospects in front of live audiences when you're speaking. And that speaks to this, to your knowledge and understanding of how this works so well, that because a lot of people are really, really afraid. Like there's a lot of fear and resistance when it comes to cold calling anybody. And to be able to just do it comfortably in front of a live audience definitely speaks to that you know something. You've clearly figured something out and it's far more comfortable. And I want to ask you, you know, to kind of get into these triggers, do you believe that this trust-based sales process that you have also leads to comfort for the salesperson? It doesn't feel scary anymore. It's something that is like, yeah, no big deal. You want me to call somebody right now? I'll pick up the phone and prospect. It doesn't even faze me because I understand it.
It's a huge relief for people who are selling to know they can call somebody they don't know and not get rejected. That is such a massive breakthrough, because most people right now who are doing outbound calls are playing the numbers game, getting slammed at hello, pushing a ball up a hill, and it's debilitating, it's dehumanizing, it's horrible. And it's not that cold calling is rejection filled, it's that they are cold calling and they don't even know it, but they themselves are the one causing their own pain. So what I'll do with it, if you like, I'll share some principles and some examples now that'll really open this thing up, that'll give people some hope to realize there is finally a breakthrough in selling after 50 years when people keep saying, oh, it's the same old stuff. Well, only if you're not open-minded it is. But let me share some ideas today, okay?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. So our core principle number one is the idea of always be diffusing pressure. Always think to yourself, how can I take the pressure out of the conversation? So the way we do that is we have developed our own unique proprietary, what we call trust-based languaging, words and phrases to use that immediately remove the pressure from the process elegantly without a sales script, without being pushy at all, by being your authentic self. And so let's do an example right now. So let's say you're having a phone call with somebody over the phone, a first conversation, call is going well, they're fairly qualified, looks like a good opportunity, the chemistry is going pretty well, the call kind of comes to an end. What do we normally say at the end of a call like that in selling? It's not a trick question, but what are we taught to do when we have somebody on the hook who's a good opportunity and the call kind of comes to an end and they're interested? What do we say to someone normally next after that?
So, and this is assuming that there's not a close. It's kind of like,
yeah, no, everything's all good. We're all looking to move things forward. What do we say? We say things like what do we say? Things like, hey, how about we get together? How about we move forward? How about we?
Right.
We're triggered to move things which direction? Towards the sale.
Absolutely.
That's our instinct, right?
Right.
But what happens if you try and move somebody forward and they aren't ready yet? What do you break right there at the beginning of your process with them?
You break the trust.
Correct. Right. Now, same scenario, our mindset and our approach and our languaging, okay? So call is going well, fairly qualified, call comes to an end. Rather than saying, hey, how about we get together? How about we move forward? How about we do a demo? What we say instead is this, and your listeners might want to write this one down. What we say is, where do you think we should go from here? And I'll say it again. Where do you think we should go from here? Now, how does that change the dynamic of the moment?
I see that if I'm putting myself in the shoes of the person getting the pitch, right? Or in this, you know, on the receiving end of the sales process, when I hear that, it puts the decision-making power in my hands on where I want to go. And I feel like there's a sense of respect there, right? That's how I would receive that. I would like, wow, maybe not, you know, directly consciously, but I would feel respect, like, okay, this person's not trying to push me into a direction. Instead, they're giving me the option of choosing which direction I want to take. They just need to know where that is. So we can.
Oh, when you say to somebody, where do you think we should go from here? They're usually in a state of shock. They can't believe somebody in business would ask them where they want to go next. That is revolutionary. That's unheard of. And that cracks the ice right there. And then what happens is they usually say things like, I've got one more question. Or what about this? All of a sudden, what comes out is the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's your goal. Your goal is not to focus on your sale anymore. Your goal is to focus on building this bubble of vulnerability where they feel comfortable telling you up front 100% where they stand, which is a complete opposite contrarian view of what all the other sales gurus teach, which is have a linear process and close that sale, which is a mistake. That's where they're burning opportunities, losing sales. See, what happens is when you think that old way, all you focus on is what you've made that month. You don't have any idea why you've lost 80% of the opportunity you didn't make. Mm.
Yeah, that's, the focus as far as what's the priority for you? Is it hitting these numbers or is it actually serving people and help? It's been a while since I've done like kind of deep dive sales convert or consultations. Back when I had my lighting business, I used to do them all the time. Now in this new business, I'm starting to get back in that mode. So this is definitely something really interesting to me to kind of resharpen the blade here and kind of knock the rust off. But I remember going through that process. The more that you listened and you let the people speak and you felt like you kind of gave them the control, it seemed like the better things would go. Now, this is clearly not my expertise or by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just speaking to what I observed through my own experience and reconciling that with what you're speaking about. And I know that one of the big things that always struck me in sales, and I used to hear this term, was I feel like you understand my vision. Like anytime like somebody would feel understood, usually it ended up closing. But if I went into that meeting thinking like, okay, where are we at right now? We're at X amount of dollars this month. I got to close 4 more sales and I got 5-6 consultations. This is my conversion ratio. So I gotta get the sale. I gotta get them closed. How do I get them closed? Like if that thought that way, then I'm going into those habits, to those bad conditioning tactics that you're talking about. And I'm going to default to there because it's the way I guess I've been conditioned. But if you kind of strip that away and you're just here to serve and help them feel understood, then it almost seems like it just kind of takes care of itself.
I mean, but what you just described right there, that your intuition is catching, is the formula for trust building, meaning the other person has to resonate with you and feel understood by you. When the other person feels understood by you, that's deep, real, authentic trust. Right. And that's the key that I figured out. And I'll drop a bomb right now on people who've been in sales for a long time. But what I'm suggesting to you today, this is a radical thought, that you do not have to work anymore on building a relationship with someone pre-sale anymore as of today. Because trust building and relationship building are mutually exclusive. Meaning you can build trust with somebody without doing all the fake rapport stuff. Like, hey, how's it going? Hey, nice to meet you. And how's the kids going? You know, all that BS relationship building that people do in sales, everyone knows is fake and it's stupid. It's dumb. It's inauthentic.
Yeah, they laugh at every joke you say.
And we've been taught by the gurus to build relationships and build rapport and find a connection and mirror them. All that stupid stuff, which is so wrong, because people know within 3 seconds, it's inauthentic. So what I tell my clients is you build a real relationship with someone after the sale, not before the sale. Before the sale, you only focus on trust building, which is basically focusing in on their problem and positioning yourself. It's like a doctor-patient relationship where they've got the problem, you're the doctor, and you help them diagnose the problem. And because doctors don't do coffee, doctors don't build relationships. Not just don't go to LinkedIn and hang out and build connections with everybody and kumbaya, let's have a cup of coffee. That is so commoditized and people know the game. And if you're doing that right now and you believe that's the way to sail success, boy, you're in for a rude awakening.
All right. I got a huge gap that I need filled here, because going back, and you were talking about when you call somebody and you say, hello, my name is Jake Anderson and I'm with this company and I want to see if you have a few minutes to chat about it. Right. And then all of a sudden you have that response. How would somebody using your system and your approach, how would that call look? How would that call start off?
I'll give you a sample right now. Here's how it goes. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Like this. Hi, Jake. My name's Ari and I'm hoping you can help me out for a moment.
Yeah, sure. All right, what can I help you with?
Okay. What you just did is what everyone does. That's the human nature response to, I'm hoping you can help me out for a moment. And you just said to me, how can I help you? Without even thinking, right? Because that's called a two-way dialogue at hello. That's how you create a connection without rejection at hello, by saying, I'm hoping you can help me out for a moment. Because number one, they don't know who you are. You could be an investor, a client, a customer. They don't know. So they're going to want to step in, engage and say, how can I help you? That's how you, and it doesn't have, you don't even have to say where you're from. They don't care where you're from. All right. They care about is you're not going to have the stereotypical approach. And then when you say, how can I help you? I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, I'm just giving you a call to see if you'd be open to some different ideas on ways to address the issues of, and you plug in the key problems that you help your market solve. You do not talk about you, your company, and your solution. That's the number one rule, is you do not talk about yourself. So Now, what did you notice when I said, where do you think we should go from here?
What did I
notice? The way I delivered that, the way I said that.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the way that I felt was it was approachable, it was relatable, and it put me back into the conversation on where to go next.
So one of the triggers of rejection is delivery. The way you say it, if you notice the way I said it with all my languaging, I said, where do you think we should go? You pause, you lower your voice. You slow down. See, we're so conditioned to move fast. Hey, how's it going? Hey, how are you doing today? See, we're so wired. We put what we call sales armor on before we pick up the phone because we're ready for the battle. We're like, we're moving as fast as we can to avoid the bullets. We got the shield up like this. We're like, oh, geez, I want to. We just kind of move so fast. And the moment you create momentum at hello, it's over. When they feel momentum from you, momentum is pressure. Pressure comes down on you, falls in your head. You're like, man, this sucks. He rejected me. He said, no, he didn't reject you. You created the response because you've been conditioned to believe that's the way to sell.
Man, this is powerful. I mean, this is so, and I love the way that you, because it was stuck in my mind when you were talking about that kind of introduction, the introduction a lot of people do when they are making these sales calls. And it almost, I think that people may, it almost seems like people overthink it too, to a degree where it's like, okay, I got to make sure they know who I am, what company I'm with, what I'm for. And it's always talking about themselves. And it reminds me a little bit about, what's that book, Story Brand by Donald Miller. And where he's like, a lot of these companies, they just talk about themselves. And like they're the hero. And I was speaking with he was a film director, and he used StoryBrand, the whole hero's journey framework, in a lot of his documentaries, and was able to generate millions of dollars and additional fundraising just by switching things over. And I remember he said, you always want to lead with the villain, right? Lead with the villain, lead with the problem, because that's what people are trying to resolve in their life. It's like, I'm not looking for solutions. I'm looking how to get rid of a problem in my life. Right. And so when you lead with that, and that's the way I'm understanding, is that by leading with that problem, you're going to grab their attention. They're going to be more present with you at that point.
Here's the thing. They don't care about how you solve the problem. What they care about is if you're the one to solve the problem.
Right.
They're asking themselves the entire time, do I trust him? Do I trust him? Do I trust him? They're not asking themselves, let's see, is this solution right for us? Let me look at the benefits. Let me look at the features. Show me that demo. Yeah. See, you think they care about how you solve the problem. That's why we're so intoxicated with our solutions. I tell my clients, fall out of love with your solution and fall in love with your client's problems.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing too is, I remember when I was in the wedding industry for lighting specifically, we were 3 to 3.5 times the average transaction rate for most other companies that was doing a similar service. And a lot of the competition I used to see, I remember I was going on their websites and looking at the way they were marketing themselves, and they were so focused on the features. They were so focused on, yes, this light, it's got red, green, blue, yellow diodes in it, and it's flicker free. And you put them up around the walls and you shoot them up, and and this is what it does. And they never really thought about the fact that there is a vision for design in this space that this person has in their mind that they're trying to accomplish. And all I did was just focus on that and not all the features. And it dramatically increased my perception of value, because when I was in those meetings, that's what I focused on. I focused on the vision and what they're trying to like figure out how to make this thing come together. And that was really the problem. It's like, I know I got my floral and I've got all the decorative pieces, but I need the lighting to really pull this together. And I need somebody to help me figure out how to pull that together. That's why I would say when they respond with, you understand my vision, I knew that always led to some kind of a sale. So, looking at that, it really makes a lot of sense, to me. And I think anybody listening right now needs to really understand this really important concept. And I would say, like I said, one of the big benefits I saw was also increase in perception of value. Is there any other benefits that you believe should be mentioned when you're approaching your sales process like that, that could really be monetarily or just maybe not monetarily, but just any benefits aside from like, you're going to close more sales, you're probably going to have better customers, but like, what do you think are the main benefits?
How about caring about somebody else?
Yeah.
How about really caring about solving their problem and not making your commission and getting your sale? How about actually feeling so intense about their problem that they feel they want to bring you in their world? See, what happens is we have difficulty being present with people. Our mind's going, oh yeah, they're qualified. Definitely going to buy this one. Oh, this looks, we're over here talking to ourselves while we're talking to someone, and they can sense that a mile away, because hearing someone is passive. Listening is active. And if you're not present in the moment with them, if you're not fully focused on going deep on their issues like a doctor would, if you're somehow building rapport with them, listening, but then reacting with your answers and solutions, if you're over-educating, doing what I call free consulting, giving away value because you hope they're going to buy from you, boy, you're in for a rude awakening. What I tell my clients is stop giving value. What? They say, what? They say, Ari, what are you talking about? Giving value, what's all about? I said, not for free. It's not. That's what you're supposed to get paid for. What you do pre-sale is you don't give value anymore. You know what you do? You provide clarity on their problems. Clarity is what they want. They don't want to hear about what you can do for them.
Yes. Yes. I love that, man. That's such an epiphany I just had from that. Because I have been so guilty of doing that. I mean, I just recently did a webinar. I felt like I needed to just teach them and give all this value. Because especially in the online space, it's drilled in your mind. Give value, give value, give value, give value. It's clarity that people need. It's
clarity. The world does not need more information and value.
Right.
Welcome to the internet age. It's like 3 years old, guys and gals. Stop giving away your content. Stop giving away your systems. Stop giving your models. Stop educating.
You know, my business coach, he told me that because he's done really well when, I don't know if you know George Bryant or not. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but we were in a coaching call, and he was like, you know, one of the things that I've done that has really just helped people grow their businesses is it's nothing to do with teaching or anything. It's just holding space for them, holding space and giving them that container to be able to implement whatever the outcome is, getting clarity around it. It's not me sitting up here on a presentation, going through all my frameworks. And yes, there's a little bit of that, but it's really more about the holding space. And that's what really was getting people the results. So, you know, man, this is like, I don't know how many light bulb moments I had in this, but for the very beginning, because I was thinking trust-based selling, and I was like, yeah, you know, I got to be a trustworthy guy, right? I mean, if I'm going to sell, like, people need to trust me. And that wasn't really what it was, what you're talking about. That really wasn't what it meant. It's something completely different. So, man, Ari, thank you so much. This has been just amazing. I have thoroughly enjoyed this interview. You know, I hear a lot of people talk about sales, and I think there's some good information out there and solid, but this is different. I mean, this is really different, what you brought to the table here. So I just want to acknowledge that and express my gratitude. Be thankful for what you've been able to do here, because this is really powerful. I know you got a book and you've got things going on. Like, tell me, like, where can people connect with you? What things do you have to offer to the world? How could people, if they wanted to get started working with you, where would they get started?
Well, first place to always go is unlockthegame.com. That's where I've got a free intro course. There's a free consultation there. You can click on that button, fill the application out. Talk with me or my team. Experience what it's like talking to us. Watch Not Being Sold. See what that feels like. See what it feels like to actually have a consultation, get clarity, and not being sold. It will be amazing for you to actually watch that happen live to you. I've also got I've got Unlock the Sales Game book, which is quite popular. I got a new book I'm working on, which maybe we can do another interview on next year. And this will be a real bomb I'm dropping on the whole industry. And the book's going to be called The One Call Sale. How to onboard somebody on one conversation, assuming they're qualified, assuming it's a scheduled call. I figured out how to have one call with a qualified potential client and bring them on board on one conversation. No follow-up, no multiple steps, no chasing, no ghosting. How does that sound to you? That's a game changer. And I teach that now to people, my private clients. If you want to learn that now, reach out to us right away. But if you want to wait till next year, you can get the book. But let me tell you, this is going to really rattle a lot of people out there who are teaching the old way.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely make sure to link that up in the show notes so people know how to get access. And this has been amazing. One call sale. I'll say one last thing just to speak to that, because I remember when I was doing sales with my event company, we had a 30 to 45 day close. Like, that's about from the time we had the consultation to the time we actually received money, it was 30 to 45 days. And it used to drive me nuts. It would drive me nuts. And I did not know how to, like, can we get this done? Not everybody was like that, but for the large majority. And it was really frustrating. They had to go back, they look at their budget, and they had to do all this stuff. Understandable. But to be able to get this done in one call is game changer. I mean, incredibly game changer, especially if you're in any, you know, being in the high ticket area where you're selling something high ticket. I mean, it can be a game changer for your cash flow. It could be a game changer for how you operate. Obviously, you're saving a lot of time and headache. You know, there's so many benefits to that. So definitely keep me posted on the progression of that. That sounds really exciting.
The reason for all the multiple steps you had and the elongation of being paid is because enough trust wasn't built at hello.
That's what it was. And you know, that now looking back on this interview and thinking back on that time, you're absolutely right. But you don't realize it. You know, you don't realize it at the time that that's what the problem is. And I never would have thought that the beginning of the sale is really where you lose it. So we'll leave you with that. Ari, man, it's been a blast. I appreciate your time being on here. Sure. It's been great. And I hope everything's going well for you in Australia. And I'd never been to Australia. It sounds like a beautiful country, but definitely enjoy your time there. And everybody listening, thank you for being here. I hope you took some notes. Go back and re-listen to it if you need to. This is definitely one of those episodes you want to listen, pause, write, take notes, go take action. Even if it's just on one thing, go take action, because this is some serious, there is some serious value I feel like you dropped on here in terms of just bringing a lot of things to the table of what you're doing. And I just want to acknowledge that and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jake. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Introspective Podcast, where mindful entrepreneurs get their daily deep dive to uncover new opportunities, raise their state of awareness, and shift the introspective towards their next breakthrough moment in both life and business. And if that sounds like you, then make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. You can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and Amazon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow here on the Introspective Podcast.